And support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support. I believe this is episode 47, and I am Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter. We are sharing all the awesome with Kelly Toole.
Hey, everybody. Kelly Toole at KellyThul on Twitter. And I believe 47 is a prime number. Just thought I'd share.
Okay.
Maybe. I'll have to check.
Okay. So, I don't have anything witty to say before we get started, do you?
I usually don't. I'm going to be consistent. No, I do not.
We're not very witty today, everyone.
That's around my prime number thing. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Okay. Well, I've got a little bit of a different recommendation this week for all of you. I am going to warn you, if you are listening to this out loud with any small children around, I am going to say a bad word here in a moment, so you might want to make them put their fingers in their ears.
My recommendation...
What?
It's Amazon.
The bad word is Amazon. Depending on who you listen to, that is a bad word these days. I had found out about this website shortly before they put a book out, and this is a cookbook, and normally profanity and cookbooks don't go along, but in this instance, they do. There is a website called thugkitchen.com, and they have just put out their very first cookbook, and I have to tell you, its byline is "Eat like you give a fuck," and I love this book. It is so funny. It is a cookbook that is freaking hilarious. It is a vegetarian cookbook, though they don't make a big deal about that, and that is one of the things that I like about it. I have always, in case any of you don't know this, I am a vegetarian and have been for about a millennium or so. And I don't tend to go around proselytizing, so I like it when you get a vegetarian type cookbook that comes out that's not like beating everybody upside the head about how this is the only way to be. This is basically kind of like they say, eat like you give a fuck. It's so much fun. They take the use of profanity as a humorous tool to draw people in to an art form. It's just great. I have read this book out loud to several of my friends who, in real life, outside of the internet, I actually don't know any real people that walk around who are also vegetarians like me, because I live in Texas. This is cattle country. When I grew up, we shopped at Winn-Dixie, which called themselves the beef people. So there aren't a lot of vegetarians even today walking around, especially in my semi-rural area. So I don't get to eat out very much. I do a lot of cooking at home. Thug Kitchen is very good at making very relatable, easy recipes for people to make that are very humorous to read. This would be the only cookbook I can imagine that anybody would actually want to read. When you get a cookbook, what do you normally do? I don't think, Kelly, do you cook, Kelly?
That
You've
hurts,
given us a recipe
that,
before.
That hurts. I've given a recipe. I might be perfectly welcome in Thug Kitchen for all you know. I'm not steeped in cookery. However, I do a little bit. And when I, believe it or not, do open a cookbook, I tend to look at the photos first to kind of say that looks good, and then I look how to make it.
Right. That's what most cookbooks are. Nobody ever sits down and reads a cookbook. You just flip through until you find a picture that looks good, or you go to the index for whatever you're particularly looking for, and then you go and you just read that recipe. This book is just full of fun from the very beginning to the very end. And I would love to read a bunch of it to all of you, but you need to go buy this book. And I also don't want to have to bleep out this entire episode, because there's a lot, a lot of language. It's kind of their shtick, and it's a great shtick to have. Some of the highlights of this particular one that I like is, and most people aren't going to understand this, but it's biscuits and gravy. And the gravy's actually made with lentils. Us, a lot of you out there might not understand that us vegetarians don't really get to have biscuits and gravy anymore because the gravy's made with bacon grease.
Delicious, delicious bacon grease.
And here's going to be my little section with it coming up to the holidays where I'm going to give you a warning about inviting vegetarians over to your home. Never, ever think a vegetarian can just pick the meat out of something that you make. That is unacceptable, and they might hurt you, or at the very least, they will cry and talk about you behind your back. We don't pick meat out of food that you make. That does not make it vegetarian. We don't eat things that have bacon fat in them. We don't eat beans that are cooked with pork fat in them, as is very common in the South, in my part of the world. There's bacon and pork fat in pretty much anything that you would normally think, oh, I can give this to a vegetarian. No, I won't eat it if there is parts of animals in there. So, biscuits and gravy out of this book that's made with lentils, I quite thoroughly enjoyed, I have to say. So, they actually make all of this very relatable for non-vegetarians, and they don't make a big deal about the lack of meat in this book. They actually mention it, I don't know, maybe in the second chapter after you've been reading and laughing, they finally say something about, you may have noticed we haven't really talked about any meat. That's because we kind of think you probably eat enough meat in other places and out there in the rest of the world, and you don't need to eat more. So here we've made a book that doesn't have meat in it for you to pull into your regular rotation and either be a vegetarian or be an omnivore and throw some of these recipes in just to get a little bit better about what you eat. And they keep the weird ingredients to a minimum. They're here. There's some tofu dishes in here. I particularly like the part where they tell everybody to get over their problem with soy, because that's one of my sticking points too. There's a lot of people out there who hate soy. And if you're not going to eat meat, you're going to have to eat soy. That's just part of it. So their website, which started all of this, is very amusing too. They have all of these recipes because this book came from how popular their website got. And all of the same thing that's in the book, the humorous, profanity-ridden write-ups about their recipes, originated on the website. And they've got it, they have one up there, I think, that they just put up that is a sweet potato bread. I could be wrong, but the write-up on that one was pretty funny comparing it to pumpkin spice candles and things like that. And I suggest everybody go check it out and read it. And that will give you a pretty good idea of what the book is about. So there's a lot of good recipes in here with the holidays coming up. It is very funny. I have amused many of my friends by reading sections from the book to them, and they were highly amused. And y'all may not know this about me, but a lot of this that's in this book is about how I am on a day-to-day basis. So my friends were like, "Are you associated with this website?" And I'm like, "No, they're just awesome like me." So I like their book, and I suggest everybody go get Thug Kitchen, Eat Like You Give a Blank, and pick it up. Be a great Christmas gift for someone or yourself, and it's highly amusing. And check out thugkitchen.com, where you can buy t-shirts and things like that. You can buy the book. You can get an idea of the recipes that they have in there. And they also, if you share a picture of something you make from the book on Instagram and tag it with the kitchen, they put it up on their virtual fridge to show the world. So they're good people. I like them.
Wow, there's so much about that recommendation that throws me on a couple levels. So first of all, I just had I guessed who the denizens of Thug Kitchen were, if I were to kind of start a list of, oh, there's a Thug Kitchen over there, Kelly. Who do you think is in there? Vegetarians? would not have been in the top five, I would say. I would have had
We're vicious people.
wrappers. So that was pretty cool. Then item two is that as far as the great crossing the F-bomb barrier on nurture and support. Again, if I had worked on a list to go through, I probably wouldn't have had, so Rachel Rigda, our guest a couple shows back, actually broke the ground for us. Just didn't, not gratuitously, just how she talks, and it just was there. It's all cool, no problem. But again, I probably, if I was ordering it, I would have had myself ahead of Mel on this one probably. But here we go. Oh, so very cool. Now this does, and then the third weird part is I love biscuits and gravy. I love biscuits and gravy. So if you're saying that that's good, I mean, because I wouldn't mind eating the deliciousness that is biscuits and gravy in a slightly better format for me. So
Yes.
willing to give that a shot. So would that be on the website, or do I need? I'm probably going to get the book, but
I
before I get the
don't know
book.
if this one in particular is on the website. Like I said, this book just came out. This book is for the second week. It's been out for 2 weeks and it is on the bestsellers list. I believe number one.
Excellent.
And they're geeking out about it, but it's just that good, folks. It is funny in its own right. But I haven't, of course, I haven't had time to go through all of the recipes in the book, but I've read through all of them. I've read the whole book several times by now. And they're really good. I particularly liked their homemade salad dressings. Yeah, I'm very picky about salad dressing, and I've gotten to the point where a lot of the bottled dressings at the store just taste chemically to me, and I can't eat a whole bunch of them. So I end up making really simple ones at home, but they had some that sounded very tasty. I haven't tried them yet. But as far as the language goes, I have terrible language, and I'm surprised I haven't spit things out in the past. But here you go. I'm trying to be a better person on the internet, but that's why everybody laughed about this book being so me, because a lot of the stuff that I read to them, they were like, it would have come out of my mouth on any given day. So it was great.
Very cool. Great recommendation. I will I'll be picking that up because that because
Because you want to be a thug too.
want to be yeah I'm gonna want to be thug, and so that'll be good, and I wouldn't mind doing a little bit better in eating, so give it a shot. But that
They're not super healthy if someone's thinking about rabbit food or something like that. These are not like we're not going to have any oil or anything else in this food. It's good food that just doesn't happen to have animals in it. So it's great.
Cool. All righty. Well, so bit of a theme here for today's show, because it will be recommendations that we anticipate will get you to laugh. And so Mel already talked about how reading this will, there's a lot of laughing moments. I myself prefer laughing to come to me. I don't like to work really hard for my laughing. I prefer to be in a chair and have laughter come to me, and so I don't think this reading stuff is hard. So my recommendation is when you, after you've read the book and you're a little tired from reading and doing all that stuff, and you need to kind of take a more passive way to laugh, I recommend you go to Comedy Central and watch my recommendation, which is Drunk History. Drunk History is possibly the greatest show ever made. Possibly better than Breaking Bad. I'm not sure yet. The cinematography is better than Breaking Bad, but Drunk History, I enjoy every second of Drunk History. It was originally Derek Waters and Jeremy Connor in 19, or excuse me, in 2007 actually did it, and it was originally a Funny or Die series, web series, and Will Ferrell was involved and some other folks. And are you familiar at all with Drunk History, Mel?
I think I've seen a few episodes. I've heard it talked about before, but I have not sat down and watched it. I think I've seen some clips on YouTube.
Yeah, and the YouTube ones, probably a lot of those are from the Funny or Die time, and those are really good too. Whether it's the what they do in the show is they have somebody tell the story of the historical event, but they make sure before the person tells the story that they're very, very, very drunk. So if I was going to explain Drunk History, it's basically a telling of historical events by somebody, not usually huge celebrities, but people that are just in the entertainment industry, but they're extremely drunk, and they as they tell the story, in an inebriated state. They have actors portraying, so they're a voiceover to the dramatization of what they're telling, and the actors are lip syncing exactly to how they're saying the story. So you have, Abraham Lincoln going, and then Big Bertha or whatever, and those types of things. So they just go word for word from it, and it is just one. You actually learn some things. So it was like for the Star Spangled, they did the Star Spangled Banner, and Henry Phillips did the Star Spangled Banner. I'm a big Henry Phillips fan. He might be a recommendation one day, but you learn some things. Like, I didn't realize that Francis Scott Key had actually kind of gone over to visit with the British about releasing a prisoner, and then they go, "Oh, by the way, we're about to attack one of your forts, so you're going to need to stay with us." And they kind of do the thing, and so you actually do pick up some interesting subtleties and some additional dimension to the history. So that's kind of cool, but you get it in possibly the most entertaining way possible. Because it is just, it defies explanation. But do a search or two on drunk history on the internet, and you'll be able to see some examples of it. They did, so Edison and Tesla, there's quite a bit of history between the two of them. There's also a really good set out there that's, I believe, wow, I get to kind of join the language patrol a little bit here. Thomas Edison's a dick. And it basically tells the story of what a fairly horrible person Thomas Edison actually was. And he and Tesla were competing on AC versus DC electric current, and Edison was electrocuting elephants, and to show the perils of Tesla's alternating current versus his direct current and all that, and
Not cool.
not cool at all. And there's a lot of history there, but the cool thing there was John C. Reilly played Tesla. It was hilarious, and Crispin Glover played Edison. And so it's just the actors they get to portray are just awesome too, because you get just some of these neat little folks in there. They did a so they'll do a lot of historical events. You'll get whether it was Alexander Hamilton's duel, William Henry Harrison's entire presidency, which lasted about 5 minutes, the Pinkerton Agency, the making of Citizen Kane. And then they also do some things like on Hawaii, where our own Stephen Young, Yoon is it from Walking Dead? Stephen Yoon?
I think that's correct, Yoon.
Stephen Yoon portrays Daniel Inouye in the Hawaii episode. So you get some kind of cool get the little spots. Badger, our good friend Matt Jones from Breaking Bad, he actually tells a story on Jim Abbott, who was a baseball pitcher who only had one hand. And
It
so
just couldn't compare, though, to his Star Trek episode, though, from
no, but I
Breaking
think
Bad.
it was given with the same sense of rabid enthusiasm. And so you get, so it's this combination of it's hilarious to watch, you actually learn something, and it's really fun. And only about every sixth person does, because it's funny, because they really get them drunk, and sometimes they start like wandering out of the apartment, and they gotta chase them down, or and I was like, I gotta go get sick, and so it's a good thing, or a wrestling match breaks out, and so those different things there. But it's a half hour show, it's all you'll love every single second of it. There's an at Funny or Die Twitter account you can follow as well. I highly recommend doing some searches, catch some of the old Funny or Die stuff. It's on the and I think maybe even some of the actual current episodes are out there too, but it's on Comedy Central, and I highly recommend it. You'll get a chuckle.
And there you said I wouldn't be interested in your recommendation today. What kind
No.
of drunk history do you think I wouldn't be interested
Why, thank you, Mel. I almost forgot. I had warned Mel as we, in our we usually have about a 3 hour pre-meeting before nurture and support to make sure
Yes.
we have everything nailed down and ready to go. And I kind of warned Mel that I was going to make a recommendation that I was pretty sure, or a suggestion she was pretty sure she was not going to be enthusiastic about. And it wasn't drunk history. My recommendation to you, Mel,
Oh,
was
okay.
that we might want to consider at some point doing a drunk nurture and support where we go. We appropriately time it to where it's safe for all, and nobody's going anywhere, and then we come on and we give recommendations completely bagged. And I think that could be kind of funny.
The censors would have to step in on that one.
Yeah.
I don't, well, it wouldn't take much to get me drunk these days, actually.
That would be, I think it would be pretty funny. But watch a couple drunk histories and then think about what if nurture and support? I don't recommend it for every show. We don't have to do it every show. Maybe a very special, maybe the holiday episode or something like that.
Yeah, that might work for the holidays. I'd be ready by then.
So more
Not a
of
fan of the holidays, folks. So that was cool. I like drunk history. That I'm gonna have to check that one out. So I was wondering why you would say I wouldn't be interested in that.
it was drunk nurture and support that I didn't think you would
Drunk nurture and
fully
support.
embrace. But
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a plus given that we don't have video. So that might be that's a mark in its favor. We're gonna have to do some negotiations. So we'll think about that, folks. Y'all let us know how interested you are in hearing drunk nurture and support in the comments. Or feel free to contact us with all that lovely information at the end of the episode that Matt shares with you.
that's right, folks. And so if you can, the hashtag's drunk nurtens up, just go ahead and throw that hashtag out there. And let's get a groundswell and get those comments in there. But yeah, I think when we share this out, we need to really encourage people and in the write-up to say we need to hear from them. And if the people want a drunk nurture and support mail, who are we to stand in their way? We'll need to give the people what they want.
Especially if they want to actually send me the liquor, that would be great.
There you go.
We'll give y'all a PO box to ship all the liquor to so we can, sponsor this episode. So I think that lets us move on into social media recommendations. My social media recommendation this week is for a lovely lady I've been following on Twitter for quite a while. She also has a bit of an attitude and is not afraid of profanity, so I thought it would be a good time with Thug Kitchen to drop her name. Her Twitter handle is at the only golden. And for Halloween right now, she has changed her name on there to Camp Golden Lake. Ha ha ha, which is funny. I like it. she describes herself as an artist, geek, total fangirl, and a medical marvel. Here's some more profanity, folks. This short bitch wears pimp stilts in order to better see this amazing world. She's fun. Likes a lot of the same things I like. And I think all of you should go follow her. She does drop a few F-bombs now and again, but hey, that's okay because we're adults here. Don't let your children follow her. Go for it. At the only golden on Twitter, I think y'all will enjoy her tweet.
Very cool. And I think I already do. I need to double
You
check. I
do, I believe.
do. I think so.
Yes.
So mine is Breaking Bad's over. Sad Kelly. Walking Dead has started up as we record this. It's been going for a little while. So that makes me happy again. But I really miss my Breaking Bad. But so that's why I'm watching the calendar closely for February, because in February, Better Call Saul, my favorite character on Breaking Bad, his spin-off series starts, and so I have to. And I had to double check to make sure I hadn't recommended it yet. Highly recommend people follow at Better Call Saul, which is the official Saul Goodman account. Is Twitter verified, blue check mark, it's Saul, or AMC or whatever you want to say. But highly recommend following, keep up to date on the little tidbits like when the Better Call Saul theme song, which is awesome, came out. He gave you a link to that. What I love more than anything else is, and you can kind of see that Vince Gilligan, I know he's not directly involved, but he's in the mix on this. You can see his kind of attention to detail on this, because in the write-up for it, it says it's the official handle of Better Call Saul on AMC TV coming in February. For more info, go to AMC.com. But then it has Saul's email address. And so for those of you who watch Breaking Bad, you know that Saul Goodman was a name he selected because he felt it was more marketable to certain members of his clientele than his original name, which was James McGill. And so Better Call Saul starts at how does Jimmy McGill become Saul Goodman? And so the email address is for James McGill. And his email address is jamesmcgill312@earthlink.net. And it was just perfect on like three levels. It was like, of course Saul would have an Earthlink email
Earthlink
address. That
account.
would be the one thing he'd have. And then And he could, and he wouldn't be able to just get James McGill. He'd have to do numbers behind it or something like that to just do it. So it was just perfect for there. So follow Better Call Saul, start counting down the days. February's not that far away, and we're gonna have what I hope will be some more awesomeness from some of the folks that brought us Breaking Bad.
Yep, we're looking forward to it. I hope they don't disappoint me.
There's a risk. I mean, Saul's awesome, but he's like, he's seasoning in a dish usually. So if you're having an entire plate of
Yeah.
pepper, we'll have to see how that goes. But they're pretty talented folks that put this together. So I think that they'll find some things. I've read some things where they're saying it's about 75% comedy, 25% drama, where Breaking Bad was pretty much the flip of that.
Opposite, yeah.
So we'll have to see. But Bob Odenkirk's a great actor. He's done a really good job there. It's a good character. I'm hopeful, and Gilligan's involved, so that's promising.
Yes.
Yeah, so I hope I'm not disappointed too, but I am eagerly awaiting to find out whether I will or will not be. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to dial it back so that I'm not brokenhearted if I don't like it. So I don't know, but I have faith in Vince that he wouldn't be pushing for this if it wasn't awesome. So we will see soon. Nice. So with Better Call Saul to round out the profanity-laden episode of drinking and swearing, we'll turn it over to Matt, who does not swear when he gives you all of our contact information so that all of you can let us know how you feel about the idea of drunk nerding up. So we will be back next week, everybody.
Thanks.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Mission aborted.
Nurturing and supporting. Terminated.